And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We pray that everything is going wonderfully in your life. And this is the week of the spring offering here at WMIE. And their phone number here is 321-632-1000, 321-632-1000. And if any of the ministries that air on WMIE 91.5 FM are a blessing to you, I would ask that you prayerfully consider joining their endeavor of raising the $40,000 that they need to help cover the operational repairs and upkeep and things of that nature. I assure you that this is not fancy or things just to be more aesthetically pleasing. It has to do with the functionality of the ministry here at WMIE. And if any of them are a blessing to you, any of the programs, I ask you to pray and consider calling in 321-632-1000 and saying, hey, for the next 6 months, I'll be willing to send in a one-time donation, a monthly support, a set amount, whatever it might be. And we thank you for that. If there's no WMIE, there's no Refresh Radio program, and we don't get to spend this half hour together with one another each and every day. So thank you for joining us. 321-632-1000. One of the other reasons that we are able to be here, Merit Assembly of God, is because of friends like Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their license numbers are RA00668-54 and EC13002439. They provide professional sales services and repairs for air conditioning, heating, and electrical issues, and have been doing that for roughly 5 decades. They work in residential settings primarily, but also some light commercial settings like Merit Assembly of God, and they provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide their customers with the best service possible at an affordable price. 321-632-9538 is how you can get in touch with them. And if you are looking to switch your AC maintenance company, Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. He doesn't just preach it from the pulpit. He lives it in his daily business. And they are a blessing to the Refresh Radio program, to Merit Assembly of God, and to me. And we're grateful to know them as friends and coworkers. So today we are going to go in the Word of God to James chapter 5. And we'll read verses 13 down through 18. James 5, 13 through 18, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." So in verses 13 through 18, in those 6 verses, prayer is referred to multiple times. It is the focus. And I want to remind you, we've been talking about prayer as the communication that we have with our Heavenly Father. It's the building of relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, where we learn of Him. We learn, prayer is learning to speak the language of heaven. It's learning to speak the language of faith. I was rehashing a sermon to myself before I came in here today. And it was like, fear is having faith that the problem is bigger than God, and faith is having confidence that God is bigger than the problem. And I don't want to live my life controlled by fear. I want to live my life controlled by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. Fear is a death style. Fear will keep you from launching out in obedience. Discomfort will do that too. I've had that situation. But all of the praying comes out of relationship. And so in verse 13, it talks, is there anyone among you suffering? So there's a direction of this conversation that is towards a group of people. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So again, a group of individuals. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. So where we have spent much of this time talking about the individual aspect of prayer, of being communication with God, here we see that sometimes we need prayer as a group, where we come together and we wage spiritual warfare against the things that are attacking individuals in the body, whether it is sickness. Maybe it's someone who's had a victory. Maybe it's someone who is suffering, who's going through a very difficult time. And there's a whole lot of different things that go on. And it says in verse number 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. So when Sunday morning is coming around at Merit Assembly of God, we ask if anybody has prayer requests. They fill out a card, let us know what it is. But we always have time to pray in the service for whatever needs are made known. But I challenge our congregation, don't just listen to me pray. I want to encourage you to pray. And not just to pray, but to pray the prayer of faith. And that faith is not in my prayer. The faith is in the God who hears the prayer, that it's the Lord who heals the sick. It is the Lord who raises people up. It is the Lord who delivers from suffering. It's the Lord who forgives from sin. And so, I wanted to focus on verse number 16, where it says, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to bring that back into the relational aspect of communicating with God. The first thing I would say is this. I hope that we do not treat prayer as the method of last resort, but instead that it is one of the first things that we do. So I remember a time when I got some very disconcerting news. I was blindsided. It wasn't so much that I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was. And the first thing that I did was I called the pastor that I grew up under, and I talked to him. And to this day, I can still remember the words that he spoke to me that day. And it was a big church. He had lots of people of much more spiritual experience than what I had, but he had been my pastor for a lot of years. And when I called him, he answered the phone. he was not too busy to talk to me. And it was because we had had relationship. I mean, he had gone to bat for me on multiple occasions and given me positions of service opportunities and things like that. And it was because our relationship never got out of what it was supposed to be. To this day, I don't look at him as a perfect man. I do look at him as a great man. I was honored to be able to preach his homegoing service. And there were a lot of ministers that he raised up, and great people, missionaries that came out of that church. And I was just glad that we always had a healthy and vibrant relationship. And I want to put the prayer aspect in that context of what does our relationship with God look like? Are we in a place of right standing? So before this statement about the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, it talks about confessing our trespasses and praying for one another. Forgiveness puts us in a place where we can continue to hear God. So prayer is a lifestyle, and righteousness is a lifestyle. And because we are in a right standing relationship with God, we have an ear to what he has to say. And when we are listening to him because we are in right standing with him, then he drops into our spirit how he wants us to pray. So the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, prays in the perfect will of God. And Jesus is constantly interceding for the saints. He's constantly praying for you. You are being prayed for. The Godhead is actively involved in your life and in my life. And if we are in right relationship with one another, communication should be something that we want to do. I want to hear from God. So a lot of times, people want to put their communication with God on their own terms instead of focusing and making a priority out of talking to God on his terms. So I would highly encourage you not to put your prayer time on a diet, but instead that you make prayer an abundant thing. So we're talking here about Elijah, and what it is specifically referring to about Elijah. I mean, if I was talking about Elijah, I would be talking about the prayer that he prays on Mount Carmel. But here, James writes about Elijah emerging onto the scene, and he prays that it would not rain. This is the introduction of Elijah. This is before getting fed by the brook, by the birds. This is before the miraculous provision with the widow of Zarephath. The praying of Elijah was something that was taking place outside of the awareness of the king. Ahab did not know who Elijah was. Elijah has a divine appointment with him. And he says, God's not happy. and it's not going to rain again until I say so. And one of the crazy things about Elijah's adversary, Ahab, was this. For the next 3.5 years, Ahab's trying to kill Elijah. He's like, I got to kill him. Well, if it didn't rain after 1 month and 2 months, and now you're into 36 months, you're on your way to 42 months, I would take what he said very seriously. That prayer and God answering that prayer should have been a wake-up call to Elijah. I mean, to Ahab. But it wasn't. He's still looking at Elijah as the troubler of Israel. And Elijah, when greeted that way at Naboth's vineyard, said, "It's not me who caused trouble for Israel, it's you." Sin disrupts our communication. It disrupts our desire for communication. So, as we're looking at this, the activity, the prayer, the communication of this righteous person, I don't want to forget to put this in the context of covenant. The closest thing that we have to understanding covenant in our modern society is that of biblical marriage, of one man being married to one woman, both of whom are focused on a relationship with the one true God. It's a spiritual, it's physical, it is communication. The two have become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. There, that's the definition of covenant. So I want to bring this into a little bit of a different picture than what you might think. And that is that if I walk into my house and my wife is there and we're in good standing with one another, we've both had good days, and I walk in the house and I see her either in her chair, or I see her in the kitchen, or I see her doing laundry, there is never going to be a time when our relationship is, you know, in problem-free at the moment, where I would walk into the house and completely and totally ignore her. And instead, we would have communication. We would greet one another. We'd talk about our day with one another. We would discuss things that are coming up on, you know, in the next few days or few weeks at church. So a lot of times my wife at night is working on projects at the church. Projects that are coming up at the church. She's working there, and she has this ability to relax while doing things that would be very tedious for me. But because we're in covenant with one another, because we're in right relationship with one another, our communication would be at ease. It would be effective. It would not have to be, you know, forced or compelled or anything like that. You see, there are several reasons why we are in covenant together, and one of them is we wanted to do life together under God's direction, under His leadership. We recognize that God had put us together, and so it wasn't just one of life's intersections. Instead, He was putting us on the path together to make us into a more beautiful tapestry than we could have ever been on our own. That was the word that God had given to me. And so we have communication because we have things in common. Well, that's the same way that we have it with God. When we're in relationship with Him, our communication can be hindrance-free. It can be effective. It can be very, very powerful because we are in right standing with God. So in order for us to fulfill James chapter 5, where there is a lot of prayer that is taking place in the church, let him call for the elders of the church. There are a lot of people who may not really appreciate the church the way that God wants it to be appreciated. There are people around the world who are believers in Jesus Christ, and they live in a nation or they live in a community that is hostile to faith, that maybe they're the first believer in that area. And you know what? They would really enjoy, they would enjoy having another believer right there with them to engage in spiritual warfare and take this spiritual journey together. The church is not a duty assignment as far as, oh no, I've got to get up in the morning and I got to go to church. Sunday's just around the corner. Oh no, I got to go to church. I have to, you know, it's an, I get to go to church because all of us have the same Heavenly Father, or we have the Heavenly Father who wants to be our Heavenly Father. So as you are having your prayer time, don't forget that it births out of a healthy relationship that we have with God. I asked a question one time, and I said, how many of you enjoy peace in your home rather than conflict? And I remember that there was this one person, and they said, you know, every once in a while, you know, we have moments, I call it moments of intense fellowship. And I'm not that person at all. I hate fighting. I do not enjoy it. I don't like it. If we're going to have intense fellowship, then let's get it resolved so we can get it under the blood so we can move forward. That's my goal with it. I don't like disunities. You see, unity sets the stage for the day of Pentecost. Unity sets the stage for the commanded blessing in Psalm 133, which is life forevermore. I want to live where God is commanding blessings, and that comes from an effective, fervent prayer because I'm in right standing with God. So Elijah is not this superhero. It's not like he has prayer as his superpower. No, the Bible here says that he was a man just with a nature like ours. That means he had problems. He got depressed. He got discouraged. He saw tremendous victories. He saw miracles. But he also knew that when Jezebel was trying to kill him, he said, you know what? I need to have a talk with God. And he journeyed. His journey lasted for 40 days. Angels helped him on his journey so he could go have a conversation with God. And he thought that, you know, he would be able to, God, just take me away. The battle's too hard. I'm too lonely and all that. And he has a conversation with God. And guess what? He launches out of that mountain for more ministry and ends up mentoring Elisha to go on and carry on the ministry after him. So after 3.5 years, he prayed again the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Okay, so for 3.5 years, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. And then he's praying after Israel has come to the realization, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And he goes and he prays, and he prays repeatedly. He says, do you see anything yet? His servant said, nope. Pray some more. Do you see anything yet? No, pray some more. Finally, after many trips, the servant says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And you want to talk about the mercy of God. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. And Elijah goes to Ahab and he said, you'd better get your fastest horses and you'd better make your way back home, because there's a rain that is coming that is going to be very, very intense. And Ahab says, you know, he said 3.5 years ago, he said it wasn't going to rain. Now he's saying it's going to rain and it's going to be a doozy. I'd better go. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is that after Ahab with his fastest horses takes off, Elijah takes up his garment and he starts running, and he gets to the city before Ahab does. Folks, prayer is not because we're awesome. Prayer is because God is awesome. And amazing things happen when God's people pray, because they're in a right relationship with Him. If there's something that you haven't got right with God, if there's something not under the blood, I pray that you would confess that you would ask Him to forgive you, and that He would equip your prayer life to be a lifeline to heaven, that you can pray effective, righteous prayers as well. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.